Om Shanti, good morning. Here is the blessing of January 8th, 2019. May you stay in solitude, and by having a minute of a concentrated stage, have a powerful experience and give others that too. May you stay in solitude, and by having a minute of a concentrated stage, have a powerful experience and give others that too. To be in solitude means to stabilize yourself in a powerful stage. You can stabilize yourself in the seed stage. You can become a light and might house and give light and might to the world. Or you can give others the experience of the avyak stage by stabilizing in the angelic stage. If you become concentrated and stabilize yourself in this stage for a minute or a second, you can benefit yourself and others a great deal. You simply need to practice this. So for this, we need to become lovers of silence. Deep silence as opposed to simply the absence of sound. That is the real essence of spirituality. Silence is golden, speech is silver. Silence is deep, words are shallow. In fact, we sometimes spoil the moment with words, when silence is the real answer or the antidote to the problem. There is often a common saying that an empty vessel makes the most sound. When someone's pot of wisdom and self-respect is full, then it's evident that they speak less and they are listened to more. Those who talk a lot and brag about their wares very often have very little self-respect. Silence gives us solutions when too many thoughts often result in confusion. In silence, the penny drops and solutions come easily and naturally to us. Words give us knowledge. Thoughts give us understanding. But only silence can give us an experience. We are born from silence and we will return to silence. In silence, we are able to appreciate every detail of nature and its majestic beauty quietens our mind. And perhaps this brings us to the most important aspect of all, and that is silence is that secret, invisible gateway to a profound, loving and fulfilling relationship with Baba, the Silent One. Silence is the only way to hear Him. Silence allows us to go inside and connect with that powerful, confident and authentic part of ourself that is not actually accessible any other way. So I've purposely left spaces of silence between the words, because if it were not for the silence, we would not appreciate the words. So those spaces, silent spaces, are very important in our life as we go about our day. Yet there are many people who just can't be silent, nor can they stand the silence. They play music or have the TV running in the background. Even if it's a Baba's channel, they even open the windows to be able to hear the world ticking away outside. They can't stand being alone. They equate alone with being lonely. So Baba said today, be in solitude. In Hindi, the word solitude means ekant, and it has a greater meaning in Hindi, which means ek ka ant, to go to the depth of the one, to the end of the one. Just imagine going to the end of God. What must that be like, experiencing the length and breadth of God, so to speak? Imagine going to the extreme depth of the ocean, or to the extreme depth of the sky or the universe. And when we do, there is absolute silence and stillness. Imagine when you have really experienced all there is to experience and you've gone to the end of it in any part of your life. That puts you in a place of absolute satisfaction and peace of mind, an inner stillness, no more desires and no more restlessness. So what is a powerful stage? Baba said, have a powerful stage. A powerful stage is when I, the soul, the self-sovereign, am totally in charge of my thoughts and feelings, meaning no one else's, just me. I'm in charge of my thoughts and feelings. It's the ability to do that which I want when I want, and not do that which I don't want. Isn't this freedom? Isn't this liberation? This is the real power. And when I'm powerful, I have the capacity, the aptitude, the competence, the sense, the wisdom, the fuel to run this kingdom well. All this is power. So Baba said, may you stay in solitude and by having a minute of a concentrated stage, have a powerful experience and give that to others. So I'm reminded of Sister Jayanti when I was in London in the 80s, and she had gone to some service programs in South Africa. But before that, so this is like May 1982, and Sister Jayanti had chicken pox. She was past the contagious stage, so she decided she would go. And when she arrived at the airport, her face was so dotted with the chicken pox because it was past the contagious stage, but her face hadn't cleared, the dots hadn't cleared yet. And so when the people picking her up saw her, they were so aghast at what they saw. And seeing the shock on their faces, she decided to intensely practice soul consciousness. And she decided that for them to go beyond what they're seeing, she has to be the one practicing soul consciousness. And that's what she did from then onwards. And she noticed that people's attention was not then going to the dots, but to what she had to say. So this is a very practical, one of those practical examples of how we can, you know, with our stage, take others beyond and give them an experience. And then there's another small example of Jagdish Bhai. And Jagdish Bhai says that he always used to carry thread and needle to patch up the holes in his pants, because he said during the beggary part there wasn't much and there wasn't many new clothes. So obviously they just wore what they got, and his clothes were getting torn as he went about service. And so once he had to go and meet a government officer, and he was waiting there while the government officer was meeting somebody else, so he was kind of waiting in line. But he noticed how the government officer kept looking toward him while he was finishing his business with the other guy. Then finally, when Jagdish Bhai came up, of course Jagdish Bhai was thinking, I hope he doesn't see my pants, my sewn up pants. And so when he came up to see the officer, the government officer asked him, he said, are you a yogi? And Jagdish Bhai said, yes. How did you know? He said, well, I can tell from your eyes. You didn't stop looking at me for 1 minute. And so his attention went to, you know, Jagdish Bhai's face, let's say spiritual face, yogi face, and he did not notice his clothes at all. So when we think of this kind of stage, you know, of living in the world and above and beyond it, we are often not only reminded of Brahma Baba, who did this work, but also King Janak. And Baba would often call Dadi Janki Janak because she would exhibit the same qualities as King Janak. So King Janak was known to be a powerful king and a great rishi. Rishi means a renunciate. And he was known to be a renunciate because as a king he had everything, but he was regarded as an enlightened soul, and so he was quite detached from what he had. He would rule his kingdom quite selflessly with wisdom and courage, and he would always go back into introspection after his kingly duties. So one day what happened is a wandering monk came to visit the city of Mithila, which was ruled by King Janak. And so the monk asked everyone, who's the best teacher around here? And so, of course, without a doubt, everyone mentioned the name of King Janak. So the monk got a bit puzzled. He thought, how can a king be so spiritually elevated? You know, what does he know about true spirituality? Anyway, he went to the king and he asked him, O king, all the learned people here speak very highly of you. But how is it that you're, you know, a man of worldly pleasures, and how can you be more spiritual than those who have given up so much in search for spirituality? So how can you be more elevated than the other sages and saints? So the king said, oh dear one, you know, you've come from so far away, why don't you eat and rest? You must be tired. And we can discuss this tomorrow. So the king fed him lots of good food and gave him a good room to stay in. But as he took him to the room, the man noticed that there was a sword hanging from the ceiling, a huge sword hanging above his bed. So the monk asked, what's this? And King Janak said, oh, don't mind that. It's been there for ages. And it's one of our customs here. Just have a good sleep and see you in the morning. And he left. All the king and his people left. And the monk was worried that the sword might fall on him and kill him during the night, so he couldn't sleep a wink. Then the next day the king met him, and the king asked, so, how was the night? I hope you slept well. And the monk replied, well, how could I sleep? There was a huge sword hanging at my neck. So the king answered, when one's death is certain, then how can one enjoy the pleasures of the world? How can, you know, he sway from the supreme goal? And so in this way, the monk got his answer. So the lesson was that of renunciation. It's all in the mind and not in the external giving up of things. Finally, what is the seed stage? And I took the liberty of phoning Sudesh Didi, and this is what she has to say about the seed stage.
Seed stage. To experience the seed stage while we are here on this world in meditation, it means everything, the extension has come into essence. All the qualities, godly qualities, because in the seed stage, you are connected with God, with the Supreme Being, the Supreme Soul. And it, all godly qualities, that is wisdom, truth, purity, peace, love, and bliss. This might becomes the power is the in the soul at that time. And vibrating the energy Yet that's why it's called living. This is the seed stage. It's stillness, fullness, and yet expressing itself. Like, and when the more, then a stage comes when it is blissful stage, it, you feel like this, like from the seed, it sprouting something. This is what it is, the bliss begins to express itself. So it's not needless stage, it's full stage. So then you realize that soul is knowledge full, bliss full, peace full, love full, power full, bliss full. This is the seed stage.
So Devi is saying that it's not like the seed where everything is merged. But when we experience the stage, we are actually vibrating those qualities. So it's like a living seed. We're in that, but experiencing all the qualities vibrating, like they come alive. And we experience the fullness of each of those qualities. So as Baba said, it just takes a minute or a second to practice this stage. And we can even do that at every traffic control to fly far away into the inner recesses of the soul world. Baba said we can become a living lighthouse or a mighthouse, be that guiding light for others, and we can show others the way to peace and happiness by simply being a sample of this ourselves. That's how we be the lighthouse and mighthouse. If we are practicing, then in the face of everyone, we exemplify being still and yet being powerful. Then Baba said we can become the angel. And what is the angel? The angel is a messenger of God. An angel carries a message. So what's your message? What's the message you carry to work every day? What's the task of an angel? What's the job of an angel? And that is to spread light. So an angel treads lightly on earth. An angel ensures that he doesn't hurt Mother Earth while he walks and moves. And then we often say touched by an angel, so we get inspired. So it's not literally a touch, but just with our thoughts we can also touch people by sending them love and good wishes. And then Baba said we can become avyakt, which means that we're here but we're not here. We're always living far beyond. And this is the difference between being a yogi and having yoga. The yogi is one who comes from up there, down here. Whereas to have yoga means I go from down here, up there. So let us practice this whole stage of turning within, having concentrated yoga, and being that lighthouse and mighthouse. So once again, just sit comfortably. And I'd like you to turn to your inner world. And really, as we turn within, we really move away from all other thoughts of what's been happening all day. We go to the end of I, Ekaka Ant. And the end of I is very powerful. The end of I is full. It's absolute. I now take myself above and beyond, past the sun, the moon, the stars, past the region of white light, and I arrive at my home. And there waiting for me is Baba. The ocean of light, ocean of might, the all-compassionate one, and I bathe in this pure light. There is absolute silence and stillness, and just I and Baba, soul to soul. I can feel the burden of many birds being washed away. His laser light purifies the soul. Baba is the purest, the mightiest, the most loving, most compassionate. And Baba accepts me as I am and how I am, unconditionally. He is my parent, she is my mother, and I experience the comfort of many relationships with Baba. Because he knows exactly what feeling to give to I, the soul, at any given time. I stay in this silence for a few more moments. I'm thoroughly enjoying diving into the Silent One. This silence is precious. Soon I will go to the world of sound. But for now, I hold on to these precious moments. Fill the cup of the soul with the power of silence. And this cup will provide all the nutrition to stay silent during those difficult times on earth. So when you're ready, just make the return journey back past the universe, back to Mother Earth, back to your room, back to your seat, and back to the center of the forehead. The seat of the soul, the seat of self-respect, and always stay seated on this seat. It's the only seat worth sitting on. Om Shanti.